This is DJ Kick, and you're listening to Steve Kelly Delivers, where you get a glass and a half of inspiring, influential, and interesting guests with every podcast. You can follow Steve Kelly Delivers on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Steve Kelly Delivers is listener-supported on Venmo.com.
Hello, and welcome to Episode 7 of Steve Kelly Delivers. It is a podcast that brings you quality entertainment first class. If you go to my website, stevekellydelivers.com, from there you can access all my social media accounts. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Now, Steve Kelly Delivers is a podcast supported by listeners just like you. So if you like the content of what you are hearing and you'd like to support my show, I'm going to tell you two ways you can do just that. First, you can subscribe to my show on iTunes, rate the show, write a review, and tell your friends about me. Another way you can support my show would be to friend me on Venmo.com, and if you make a donation to my show via Venmo, I will give you a shout-out on the next podcast during the intro portion of my show. And now, let me deliver my awesome conversation to you as I introduce my next guest, my editor, my producer, my coworker, my friend, DJ Kick, aka Kyle Combs. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Steve Kelly Delivers. Today, I will be interviewing DJ Kick, aka Kyle Combs, my editor, my producer. DJ, he is here live on Steve Kelly Delivers. Kyle, say hello to everyone.
This is DJ Kick, and you're listening to Steve Kelly Delivers, a podcast which is really awesome.
That smooth sound and voice. That is what you hear in my opening credits, the opening theme song, all put together by DJ Kick himself. And let's like start there. Like, you know, you came up with the music that you, it's like a beat that you just kind of made on your own.
Yes. Well, for starters, thanks for doing this little interview, Steve. It's pretty awesome to be here. With regards to the beat for the opening of the podcast, I'm heavily influenced by hip-hop music, and one of my favorite groups is Tribe Called Quest. Your listeners may know of Tribe Called Quest. Rest in peace to Fife Dog. The beat was just, I just kind of felt, you know, like I wanted to do a beat where it emulated them. So I actually called it The Vibe Called Quest in honor of them. And, you know, just messing around with my digital audio workstation, I came up with the rhythm.
Nice. That is awesome. And, like, you know, with your DJ business that you do in the side,
yeah,
you got a lot of side gigs. I've been to a couple of the parties that you've done, and you do a bang-out job, like always.
Thanks very much. You know, I really enjoy doing the parties, doing weddings, things of that nature. I do all sorts of, I'm available for all sorts of engagements, weddings, bar mitzvahs, although I haven't done one of those yet. You know, that would be pretty interesting. But, you know, quinceañeras, birthday parties, graduations, things, you know, all kinds of things like that. Eat private events, you know, I just recently, one of our former co-workers had a retirement party, and he asked me to bring the music and, you know, rock the house. So I did just that.
Yes, and unfortunately, I missed out on that event.
You did miss out on that.
I missed out on a good event, I know.
Yeah, no, it's all right. It's all right.
A strange event.
A strange man's event, yes, indeed. But that's all right. You know, there's always other events. I remember years back, even, when I was DJing. I wasn't the house DJ for Hammerhead's billiard hall, when that was still open before they changed the name. It's a local bar here where we are. And the house DJ kind of took me under his wing. And I would go there every other weekend or so and just, hone my skills, I guess you would say. And it was pretty fun. And I remember Steve Kelly came out there and we had a good time. And he was having an exceptionally good time because I wasn't drinking. But, well, let's just say he was an interesting and influential person himself.
Oh, yes. I have a tendency to be quite interesting and influential when I'm drinking.
You're under the influence.
Oh, and that's when everybody else is under the influence, whether they want to be or not.
Yes,
oh,
indeed.
Boy.
Yes, when you're under Steve Kelly's influence, it's an influential and interesting thing.
And sure. That's right. We're hearing the origins of DJ Kick, how he got, and I do remember that back in the day at Hammerheads.
Yeah, that was a pretty fun time. If I may take you back a little bit, I'll give you a brief little bio. I was I grew up, DJing was a natural evolution for me. As I got older, I started out when I was born. I remember when I was born.
When your DJ career was born. Yeah, you remember when you came out of the womb. It was,
it was
all this light everywhere.
And... Yeah, it was partying. The basses was kicking. Just from a young child, performing and entertaining was something that was near and dear to me. So I always, I always went out for the school plays. I always went out for the school choirs and things like that. And I always wanted to, I remember during high school, I was in a show choir and some friends of mine were half-heartedly trying to start a singing group, something along the lines of Boys to Men, so on and so forth. These half-baked ideas, so to speak, never came to fruition. But I still had that performing bug. So my natural evolution I'm not actually making music, although I could sing and I could make music. I thought, well, the next best thing would be to DJ, and it turned out to be pretty good at it. So,
yeah, definitely a good side biz.
Yeah, absolutely. It a little bit extra money, and then because of the DJing, I went from DJing and jumped right into editing podcasts. How about that?
Yeah, about that?
I'm actually very thankful that you asked me to help you out.
I'm more thankful that you offered to take on the job because you are such an awesome editor, producer. I mean, this is working out perfect. It could not have worked out better.
Thank you. I'm doing what I can, and some editing jobs are a little tougher than others, with technical difficulties primarily, but I'm thoroughly enjoying this. So if any of your listeners out there need a DJ or a podcast
or an
editor,
there you go.
Yeah, or a beat maker if you're into hip hop or R&B or whatever you're into, they can always look me up and we can give out some information later on.
Yes, oh definitely. Oh yeah, at the end of the podcast you'll be able to give a shout out to how people can find you on social media.
Perfect.
And absolutely. And yeah, at this podcast meetup group that I go to, it's, I've mentioned them before. They've been very supportive. And, this one guy that does editing work, I was telling him, my friend at work is a DJ. And he was saying that, DJs have a special ear for hearing different, being able to pick out and edit. So, and you definitely have the knack for that. I mean, that is what makes you an excellent editor. And, while we're talking about this, being an artist in general, I mean, if you're an artist, you have to be an artist. You've got to somehow have an outlet besides extra money, and I know with this podcast, we're not quite there yet, although I'm hoping, we're building.
Yeah, of course.
But we do it also, we express ourselves artistically because we have a need to. It helps fulfill us.
Well, yeah, for sure. Like I said, ever since I was young, I had a heart and a mind for being a performer. It probably really primarily started, you know, watching Michael Jackson on the Grammys do his first Grammys performance, the legendary performance where he did the moonwalk for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you watch stuff like that and you're just like, oh, my gosh, I want to do that. I want to, obviously when you're younger, the fame and the fortune is first and foremost on your mind, but it's like you said, there's a heart thing that you fulfill when you do that. So no matter what your goal is in the beginning or what your mind's goal is, you have like a gift or a heart goal that is really the driving factor, because if you didn't love it, why would you do it?
Exactly.
And just like you and your podcast here, you are using this podcast to express yourself and to, you're like a connector, kind of like what a DJ does. You know, a DJ is using the music to connect with the people. And, you know, when you get that one particular song out there that someone just loves, and when you just mix it in the right way, or whatever it is that you do with that particular song, you know, you really can set the party off. And it's the same way with your podcast. You might touch on a topic like we're touching on the topic of being fulfilled with your artistry, and you could have a listener on there who is in the same, you know, mind state as me being the DJ, and they're like, wow, you know, this guy really knows what he's talking about, or this guy, thanks, you know, the people will be thanking you because you are bridging a gap between people and a need.
Yeah. You know, with podcasting, I never really quite looked at it that way. I mean, this is a venture that I've decided to get into because, as you know, I'm looking to get back in to acting again. Like years ago, I had done extra work and I kind of, I don't know if I got sick of the entertainment industry at that point, and or just the economy crashed and everything. So that was kind of a setback. And
you know, life happens.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, when you're struggling at the beginning, you know, like I couldn't stop working at the post office and be a DJ full time.
No.
Because I've got, you know, three kids and a wife and a house to take care of and car payments, you know. So life gets in the... Now, if I had jumped into the DJing thing full force before I started working at the post office, that we might be having a totally different conversation right now. You know, whereas I could say, oh, yeah, I just did a show for, you know, 60,000 plus people, as a group event, so on and so forth. Well, you know, that's because I would have had X amount of time and X amount of, you know, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is absolutely true.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, but plus at the time I was in the entertainment industry, like, I don't know if I was really, like, full force into it. I mean, I went on auditions and I would get, like, the direct bookings are the best. I mean, that's where they just look at your picture and say, okay, we want this guy for this
event. Right, he looks perfect for what I want right
now. Yep, and then you just show up and you go through the shoot and everything or whatever what happens to be that they're doing. But, like, I guess one thing that kind of turned me off years ago with the entertainment industry was, like, seeing how little kids would show up to, like, castings and auditions. And it's like, you know, like you were talking about earlier, how when we were younger, looking at the entertainment industry, you know, you just see all the fame and the stars and the, oh, I want to make it big, I want to make it big. And, I mean, that's what everybody wants to do, but you really have to have a love for it. You just have to have that passion.
And unfortunately, in Hollywood, in the industry, which when you think about when you say the word industry, it's an industry. So these companies, these Hollywood executives, they know what they want. They are doing things particularly to churn out a product that they can mass produce and sell and make money off of. So perfect example. And the first thing I thought of when you said little kids coming into the auditions, I'm thinking of Disney Channel.
Yeah.
And stuff like that, which I love watching some of the shows on the Disney Channel with my kids. But at the same time, you know, you look at everything that they're producing, it's just they're churning out one thing after another, and they want these young kids, you know, they want to find the next big thing that they could push for about 4, 5, 6 years, and then...
Yeah.
Then where are the kid actors after that?
I know, like Macaulay Culkin, you know, Culkin. Like...
I mean, yeah, and this has been going on since back in the day. I mean, Macaulay Culkin, Todd Bridges...
Even way before that. Like Shirley Temple?
Shirley Temple is an exception, I think, because Shirley Temple, she was able... Like, Shirley, people in that era... It was different.
Yeah, so, that's true.
So, I mean, like, she was able to parlay her childhood stardom all the way until, I mean, now she's, you know, like, if someone said, or she walked into an audition, people would probably be like, you're Shirley Temple Black. You're Shirley Temple. Boom. Let's get her. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, but if you go just a little further,
right, like
David
ahead.
Cassidy... Those people, you know, Danny Bonaduce.
Like Todd Bridges, yeah, Todd Bridges, like you mentioned earlier.
In the 60s and 70s and 80s. Where are those
when,
guys now?
You're right.
You know, that's when Hollywood started becoming an industry rather than an art thing. So that's why when you do, I think if it were me trying to go back into acting, which I might try that next. I might try to give you a run for your money, Steve.
Although I don't think we'd be cast for the same exact role. We have different looks.
You never know. Some people could confuse us. You know, when you got the height and the short hair, you know.
Yeah, although I've got none.
Well, you've got none. But, I mean, when I cut it, my hair
short, none. Yeah, yeah, same difference.
Same difference, yeah. You know, goatee, it's all the same. But, you know, especially our skin color. Our skin color is exactly the
same.
Oh,
exactly. You pass as twins. I mean, no one...
I'm black, he's white. Just so that your listeners know, we're joking.
But we're brothers nonetheless.
Absolutely. Brothers from other mothers. I just went off on a tangent and I lost myself.
That's all right. You can do that on this show.
Oh, okay.
We go off on all kinds of tangents. Cool. As long as we're having a fun conversation, hey.
Yeah, it is a fun... It's always a fun conversation with you, Steve. that's why when you go to places like Soho in New York, or, you know, when you go off-Broadway to New York, that's where you always tend to find really, really good actors, really good singers, performers, songwriters, places that are off the, you know, the mainstream.
Yeah.
That's where you usually find a lot of good stuff. Whereas, again, it's an industry, so when you get to where the industry standard is, now you're starting to get the, you know, the stuff that's highly popular, but it's like a star in the sky. When they shine so bright, they can only last for so long.
Yeah, that's it. They supernova at some point.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can always... And I think one of the best examples that I've seen of the opposite of burning bright and dying fast is, why can't I think of his name? Bryan Cranston.
Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad.
And Seinfeld. So many things.
So many things. And the thing is he didn't even really start his career until he was like 30, 40 years old. And now I think he's like pushing in his 60s now, but
he's still going strong.
He's going stronger than ever, and way better than he ever would had they cast him at a young age. So for people like us that are in our 40s, we're like, hey, I mean, you can look at a model like Bryan Cranston and say, man, if he can do it, anybody can do it.
Yes.
You just got to know your lane. You got to know what works for you, and you got to keep pushing for those particular roles or those particular gigs and say, you know, oh, well, I know that there's a place that likes old school music. I know there's a niche of people that likes old school hip hop. Let me try to push myself as an old school hip hop DJ, and maybe I'll pick up some more gigs that way, or maybe even land a radio spot, or make music for someone else's podcast as well as your podcast.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's just about knowing, a lot of times it's just about knowing your lane and knowing yourself and, you know, pushing toward that rather than trying to be something that we're not.
Definitely. And, you know, I would say right now is probably like the best time. I know it's like an excellent time to get into podcasting.
Absolutely.
And also a great time to get into Hollywood because, I mean, there are, like with streaming services, are now so many different avenues. Like every, like YouTube has their own cable service, Hulu, everyone. And along with their own cable services, they have their own original programming.
Exactly, their own original programming. And it's not always going to be someone famous on their shows. They're going to use a lot of people that are just starting off. And even if they have one big name on their cast, for example, Adam Sandler, when Netflix started to go really gung-ho with the streaming, I noticed that Adam Sandler had like 5 or 6 different movies that were made, and they went straight to Netflix.
Yeah.
If they even ever went to the theaters, I don't know.
But no, I don't think they did.
I think maybe out of all of them, I think only one went to the theaters and or like regular cable, like HBO or whatever like that. But and it was actually a rather funny movie. I enjoyed it, called The Cobbler.
Yes.
Did you see that one?
Was that a Netflix original? Or
I don't know if it was a Netflix original or not.
Because I don't know if I remember that coming out in the theaters. That could be one of those movies.
But either or, no matter whether it was a Netflix original or not, the first time I saw it was on Netflix. And in the meantime, he had like 3 or 4 other projects that were on Netflix at the very same time. Like there was a cop movie that he had, and then there was a Western style one that he had, and there might have been one other. But now he's just got another movie with Chris Rock.
Yeah.
Or not movie. Is it? I don't know if it's a movie or a series.
I think it's like a movie. It's a Netflix. That one I know is a Netflix original.
Exactly. And so, you know, all you need from Netflix, all they did was say, let's, you know, give Adam Sandler a contract to do X amount of movies, and we can get, you know, and, you know, again, back to the industry.
Yeah.
Just, it will churn out some stuff. But what that's done is open the door, like you said, for YouTube and other people just to do what they do. And, you know, whether they have a big star name to help push it, or whether they don't, you've got a variety of content that you can make available to yourself.
Yeah.
And if you have the right agent or booking company, or like you said, doing a direct booking.
Well, yeah, that's through an agent.
Yeah.
But I know when I was talking to Fatima on my last episode, mm-hmm. she was saying that she, like, you can use Instagram, and I guess like Instagram pictures or something to book. Like you could bypass an agency that way.
I think you have to. I remember listening to that, and I think that that works probably better for models.
Yeah.
Than for actors.
Very true.
Although
they use, like she was saying, and I kind of believe it, that they use like your Instagram. Like, they'll look at that and decide whether or not they even want to book you for anything.
Like, because they look at you and they look at what you look like and if you fit a look that they're looking for. Absolutely. But again, she's out there grinding, doing it on, you know, all the time. She's out
definitely.
In the heart of California.
West Hollywood,
you know, and just, you know, boom, 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 doing this shoot and that shoot and, you know, music videos and whatever she can get, she's doing, and she's doing it real big, and she always has, even when she was here, you know, living in Florida with us.
Yeah.
but
she'd have a lot of gigs
in us,
yeah.
I could. She wasn't
I wish.
With us.
Wish. Well, you're married, but
yeah.
I could wish.
Yeah,
I could
you
do
could
it.
Wish. Yeah.
But yeah, she's done like a lot of stuff in Miami,
yeah.
Tampa, and
yeah.
then finally
yeah.
said, "Okay, I need to get out to Hollywood."
Yeah. And that was the best thing she could have done for her career as a model slash actress.
Yeah. And Fatima, if you're listening to this episode, I hope you are. We're definitely pulling for you.
Hi, Fatima. We missed you at the office.
Yes, we do.
We're glad you're gone, too, at the same time.
For your sake.
For your sake, not
oh,
for ours.
You know, exactly. All right. And, you know, another thing that I wanted to talk about, and I know that we're both in the same alignment with this,
mm-hmm.
politically.
Okay. Okay.
Let's talk Donald Trump.
Oh, is that weird? Do we really want to go there? I thought you wanted to keep the podcast as politically free as possible.
Ah, no, we're going to politically free, politically charged.
We're gonna pull out the stops on this podcast.
Maybe yes, we are.
You should have done a preface beforehand. This podcast may contain objectionable material for some people.
Some listeners. But, all right.
So what did you want?
With Donald Trump.
Okay.
All right, here's the question. Is he really a stable genius, as he said? Like, do you think that he had a lot more to do with brokering a peace deal with North Korea than we're giving him credit for? What's your take on that? And then I'll give my take at the end.
Honestly, I don't know. If I'm being quite honest... I've been trying to keep my face out of regular mainstream media news or even alternative outlets. I've just been trying to stay away from the politics altogether. So I only briefly saw the image where Kim Jong-un went to... It's Kim Jong-un, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Kim Jong-un went down to South Korea to meet with their leader, which I can't remember the name.
Something by Moon or something. I can't even think of his name.
I thought it was Lee something.
Oh, okay.
In any event, the two leaders met in the center line of the demilitarized zone, and they shook hands for the first time.
And they had like a little tree planting ceremony and everything.
Yeah.
Was pretty...
Well, before that, I think the more... significant part was when they actually shook hands, and then Kim Jong-un stepped over the line, and because it's not a wall, it's just like a little lump, it's just like a little brick footer on the ground, like a garden separator or something. So it's not like a wall like East Berlin and West Berlin type, you know.
Oh, yeah.
East and West Germany.
Germany. Well, I think, Berlin was...
Berlin was the dividing
on one
line,
side,
yeah. So, the significant thing about that was when Un stepped to the south, they shook hands again some more, took some pictures, and then he offered for the both of them to step into North Korea, which I think the South Korean president or prime minister wasn't expecting that. So he you know, smiled and they did it. And to me, that was the most interesting part of the whole thing. Do I think Trump really had anything to do with that or as much to do with that as he claims? I'm not entirely sure I can agree with that. I mean...
That's where I'm at with that.
I mean,
I don't...
And again, I've encountered people that think that because of Trump and because of this and that and the other thing that's happened recently politically, that we might be on the precipice of world peace. That's something that I still have to wait to see. I know that biblically, it says in the Bible that there will be a peace, but it won't be a lasting peace.
Yeah, you mentioned that the other day.
Yeah, and I don't... so whenever I see something or hear someone talking about, oh, there's going to be world peace at last, I have to think back to that, and I'm like, you know what? Don't count your chickens before they hatch. You know? So, but no, I don't think that Trump had as much to do with that going on than he would like
then
to
he
claim.
Oh, yeah.
But again, I'm not totally, you know, with my face in the TV or in the internet looking at politics right now.
Yeah.
And right now, I've got bigger things to do, like editing your podcast, which brings me much more joy than anything.
Listening to the mainstream news,
exactly,
yes.
Absolutely.
Oh, I'm sure anything, even a root canal nowadays would be better enjoyment than listening to some of the mainstream news.
Yes, indeed, indeed.
But yeah, like the whole thing with world peace, like when it comes to spirituality of beliefs, like you know that I was a Christian, but then I've converted to atheism, so... I believe in science.
Which I'm still trying to figure out why you did that and how to get you back on board with Jesus. But, you know, everything's a work in progress.
All right. But, you know, whether...
All right. It's my show, Kyle. Just chill out, all right? Go ahead.
Oh, but, you know, when it comes to, like, belief systems... Like, I would say if you're happy in your beliefs, which I am, I mean, since I believe, like, more science-based beliefs, I'm happy, and that's all that really matters.
That is definitely something that should matter with your belief system. I mean, who would want to have, no matter what you believe, whether it's Christianity, Islam,
Hindu, Buddhism,
atheism, again... I'm not sure exactly what atheists believe, except for the scientific part of it. But I just know that they don't believe in any deity.
Deity. There we go. Deity, deity. Potato, potato.
Yeah, he believes in science, but he can't say deity right. Just kidding. Burn.
Okay, listeners, I think I'm gonna have to call a timeout here and get some ice for that burn. Ah. No, but like. Like scientifically, and you know, like when it comes,
I love
to,
science.
Oh yeah,
I, you know,
who doesn't?
I'm not against science. Whatever. Go ahead.
All right,
you were talking. And
all right, getting back on board to my point.
Yes. Please.
Like when it comes to, just like what I'm hoping that comes out of world peace. Like I'm hoping because we're all one species.
Yes.
Let's work together. Mm-hmm. Like I'm hoping that we can somehow have world peace and.
That
we could
be
become
awesome.
like Star Trek can become a reality. You know, like, okay, maybe we're not quite there yet with the Starship Enterprise and Warp Factor 9,
right,
and seeing the Klingons and whatnot, but we can be there in terms of just working together on this planet, like working, let's not be in competition with each other, let's help each other, let's like build and become better.
A lot of times when I do see stuff on the news or if I check my Facebook feed and stuff like that, you know, we see now in the media, mainstream or not, we see that we as the human race are more and more focused on our differences rather than what we share in common. So
sad but true.
So like you said earlier on, you know, even though I'm black and you're white, we're still brothers. We're brothers from other mothers.
That's
you,
it.
You know what I'm saying? And we're all human. You know, if you get cut and I get cut, the blood's going to look the same. And it might not be compatible, you know, as far
right,
as
blood types,
blood
but
types
that's the science part of the show.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but, you know, we're all human. So, and because this is the only planet we have for now, you know, and we just need to be there helping each other and lifting each other up rather than to bring each other down, no matter what our belief system is or non-belief system is.
Yeah.
You know, whether you like hip-hop music or whether you like rock, whether you like Apple or whether you like
Lenovo ThinkPad.
Windows, yeah, you know.
Now Windows, yeah.
You know, whether
PC.
You're, yeah, PC.
Or you Samsung, know, or, you know, it's all.
Android, yeah, exactly. You know, it's all a computer, but, you know.
It's just different brands.
Yeah, we can work together. You know, it's just like we have different blood types, different races. It doesn't prevent me from working with Steve at the post office. It doesn't prevent me from working with Steve on this podcast.
So, yes.
So to all your listeners, I would say put down your differences, put aside your differences, and, you know, be the piece that you want to see. Or, yeah.
Yeah, be the piece you want to see in the world.
Yeah, exactly.
Great quote from Gandhi.
Yeah, exactly. Gandhi, oh man, what a great...
Oh, if only he was alive today, I would love to interview him in a podcast. Or the Dalai Lama, that would be like the next equivalent.
I can do an impression of Gandhi if you like. It can make it, you know,
How about Edwin? You do a great Edwin.
I do some impressions, and it's funny, before we got here, I was thinking about that. I was like, oh, maybe I'll do some impressions for him. So you said Edwin. Well, kids, you know, if you've ever watched Alice in Wonderland from the Disney, then you'll know that Ed Wynn plays the Mad Hatter.
Yes, I love that impression.
I know you do.
No, I'm trying to hold back the laughter because, you know.
No, you should bring the laughter on. You know, I do it for the fun of it. So if you're not laughing, then why is he even talking? That's just preposterous.
But hey, my listeners are definitely laughing at that. I know, good. For sure.
Good, good, good.
And speaking of listeners and let's go to shift gears to podcasting.
Sure.
Like one thing when I was talking to Bruce Wozniak with Podcasting 101.
Right.
One thing that I forgot to cover there that we can cover here is something that's very important. What could possibly go wrong on a podcast I would say, like, let's try to cover some things for the listeners, sure, that anyone that's interested in looking into podcasting.
Yeah.
Because I did have like a little mishap that forced me to delay an interview, but fortunately I recouped. So that interview will be taking place. I worked out the bugs with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, for starters, technology. You know, it's all, you know, since we were talking about, you know, ThinkPads and,
yeah,
and Samsungs and, you know, all these different things, you know, they all work differently, but to do the same thing. And sometimes you can get, you know, for example, you know, your gear might not be up to par. You could, you know, in our case, we had trouble with the headphone issue. So... You know, it can draw everything back, you know, a bit. But like you said, you recouped it. And, you know, and everything went swimmingly since then. For example, if you're doing an interview via Skype, you know, sometimes the quality could be poor because of poor reception or...
Although so far that's never been an issue.
Well, that's right. No, it hasn't been. Which I'm thinking. Excuse me, that coffee. Excuse me, but that, yeah. Thankfully, that has never been an issue.
Yeah, and I mean, like with Skype so far, or even just phone interviews in general, it's been flawless. I got a little system set up.
Yeah, see? And so, you know...
It is all about the system, too. You want to figure out, like, when I do the podcasting in my bedroom, I got a nice desk in there.
Yeah.
I set up, like, a couple of little boxes. I got, a holder for my phone. I put that, like, right near the microphone.
Perfect. Yeah, and you know, I mean, now, obviously, the more we get into this, and maybe if we get some sponsors... Perhaps from some of the people that we've mentioned today, like Apple and Samsung and
Apple, Netflix, Samsung, and YouTube,
Yeti Blackout microphone, Lenovo ThinkPad. You never know who's listening.
Yes.
They might say, hey, they keep dropping names for us. Let's throw some money at them. So, you know, you never know. Once some sponsors roll in, you know, you can upgrade the sound system or even take the recording to a miniature studio. There's a couple of studios that are by us, as a matter of fact.
It's there. Like the one in Tarpon, is that still?
Yes, yes.
That's still there?
No, not that one in Tarpon.
Okay.
Not that one in Tarpon Springs, but there's another one, I believe it's called Sound Maze, at least that's what it was last time, and I haven't been there for a while, but I'm pretty sure it's still there. They actually, right after the original studio, which was called 420 Studios, after they closed.
Yeah, I remember you and didn't Tarpon Tie, the bowling guy?
Yes, right. That's right. Yeah, we did some recording there. I recorded a song for him. But soon after they closed, this other place, Sound Maze, opened up, and they actually took it a step further where they have a stage where they have space for you to rent if you want to put on like a showcase.
Oh, wow.
So, like, let's say you wanted to do a battle of the bands and you wanted to organize it yourself. Or let's say you want to do battle of the podcasts or whatever. You know, you could rent out their space and have all that. Plus, they have the recording studios in there. Plus, they have rehearsal booths. So, it's like a small booth that's soundproofed and so on and so forth.
Oh, so you like for auditions that you want to send out to somebody, you could do... like that,
right?
For example,
or in our case, rent the booth, the rehearsal booth,
and then do a podcast from there,
and just set up your equipment there. This way, all the acoustics are super crisp, you know, things like that.
Oh yeah, that's good to know.
Me being a fledgling recording artist, you know, I sing. So if I brought my laptop in with the software, I could actually record myself and have the ultimate silence that I'm looking for so that, you know, there's no background noises and this, that, and the other thing, as opposed to doing it in my own house. Because these days, if you have, you know, the means, you can record and make your own music right there in your bedroom or your living room or what have you.
Yeah.
You know, but you have all the background noises, the sound of the refrigerator humming, you know.
Or if someone's mowing a lawn outside, which you may or may not have heard. I don't know, it was quiet.
Yeah, but it's all right. This is a pretty good microphone. I doubt it picked it up. But
Or it did, because it's an excellent microphone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeti Blackout Blue microphone.
Boom, boom, boom.
This podcast is brought to you by... Lenovo ThinkPad, Yeti Blackout Blue Microphone.
And DJ Kick.
Yes. Yeah, and speaking of other, like, locations to podcast at, like, I saw something in the news, this is, like, months ago,
mm-hmm.
the Clearwater Main Library, they call it. And this is how, like, libraries are evolving, because, you know, like, it's no longer about how many books they have in the shelves, because
right.
books are almost becoming like more phased out. Everything is heading towards like e-books and
right.
computers and electronics. Like they actually have like sound rooms that you can use. Like you can kind of, you rent it for free.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you schedule, like let's say that someone is down in Clearwater and they wanted to do a live podcast and I was able to get access to the Clearwater Library room.
Sure.
Like you would... just like let them know in advance and
say, hey, let's do this interview live and we can meet here at this library and sit in the room and it'll be quiet. And,
yeah. And of course, know. I mean, they've got like standards, like you can't be too loud. But I mean, like if you're just having a conversation like this, I mean,
yeah.
it would be perfect.
Absolutely. And they probably have a provision so that the sound from your room doesn't bleed into someone else's room.
Oh, definitely.
Because, you know, you're in a library, so you want quiet, you want privacy.
And they even have, like, their own equipment. Like, I would use my equipment because
sure.
that's just what I'm comfortable with. So mm-hmm. I would just bring my laptop, mic, and everything. But,
yeah.
I mean, it's, like, it's just amazing the stuff that they have at our dispense.
Have you been there? Or
no. I've talked to somebody.
Okay.
But that's about as far as I've gone. The guy was, like, he had, like, a British accent. So he's from Britain. He's English. He's really cool.
How did that British accent sound?
Well, it kind of sounded like this, you know. I mean, this may not be my best British accent, but, you know, I mean...
That's okay. I just wanted to hear you try to do the fake British accent and see how good you could pull
Cheerio.
It off.
Cheerio! Did I pull it off well, audience? I don't know.
Well, nah, that's a little more Dr. Evil than Britain, but it's okay.
Really? Where perhaps I can hold the world hostage for... 1 million listeners.
That would be a lot.
That would be excellent.
That would be great. I when you said listeners, I thought you were going to say dollars.
No, listeners are worth way more than dollars.
Well, not unless you want to keep the podcast rolling. Maybe some listeners that give a dollar each.
So there you go. There's the $1 million.
$1 million, because I know we've got the Venmo. And so, you know, if you got 1 million listeners to give $1 each...
There you go. Payment. That's $1 million. Cha-ching.
See, it doesn't cost much. It's like you know, just a drop in the bucket, folks. I'm not soliciting anyone for money, by the way.
No.
It's all hypothetical, but just saying.
Yeah. Just as a matter of fact kind of thing, you know. Well, DJ Kick, it has been a blast having you on the show. Oh. It was a lot of fun, as I knew it would be.
Of course.
It was Kick and Kel, dropping it live here.
That's right, yeah. Skelly. It's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure to do this interview with you. And I would love to do more interviews with you on random topics. Or, you know, maybe I'll interview you next time.
Oh, that would be a twist. The interviewer getting interviewed.
Exactly. You know, we got to twist it up a little bit and...
Although I don't know how interesting or influential I would be. I don't know.
If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be talking here in the first place. So
good point.
Booyah.
All right. Now, in closing, tell everyone where they can find you on social media. Because you know your phone is going to be blowing up with all kinds of new people following you.
Yeah, possibly. Well, I'm on Facebook. You can look me up on Facebook. I have actually three accounts on Facebook. My personal account, which is Kyle Isaac Combs. And then I also have on Facebook, I have my DJ Kick page. And I have Rich Blend Entertainment, which is the name of my company. Actually, there's a fourth one. I started to branch out a little bit into making t-shirts. So,
really?
Yeah, Mary and I, my wife.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, so... That's Rich Blend Creations. Rich Blend Creations.
Oh, I gotta have you make me up. Do you do like polo shirts at all?
I could, I'm sure.
I gotta get some Steve Kelly Deliver shirts made. I've been meaning to do that.
Absolutely. So DJ Kick is spelled DJ, duh. But Kick is K-I-C. That's my initials. K.I.C. And then Rich Blend Entertainment. And I'm also on Twitter, so you can follow me on Twitter. I'm on all platforms, pretty much. Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, Facebook. What else? Those are the main ones. And you could always email me at djkic2@gmail.com. That's a good way to reach me, too. So if you ever if you're local, even if you're not local, you know, we can work out something and, you know, maybe I can DJ your next function or edit your podcast.
There you go.
Or do some acting for you. I mean, who knows if there's any casting agents out there, you might like the way I look and you might just need a DJ for the background of a movie somewhere.
There you go.
You know, I look
you the got, part. You look the part and play the part.
Exactly. Literally and figuratively.
All right. And hey, on that note, once again, thank you for being on the show, DJ Kick.
My pleasure, Scott.
I'll be seeing you tomorrow at the Palm Harbor PO.
And if I may quote the legendary Steve Kelly, on that note, it looks like another successful delivery.
Yes.